Thank you so much for the invitation. I am looking forward to hearing your questions and hearing the speakers and, in general, participating in this symposium. So I'm going to talk about why race matters in child development. And let me just tell you a little bit about what ground I want to try to cover. I first want to talk just by way of giving some background demographic information about the relationship among race, income, and neighborhood context. Then I want to talk about what the research suggests about the importance of neighborhood context for children's development and for parenting. And in the context of that, I will say a few things about some of my own research. And then I want to talk about negative racial stereotypes and the significance of those stereotypes for children's performance, at least in the laboratory setting. So why children's awareness of negative racial stereotypes matter. So essentially what I want to do is to emphasize neighborhood context and racial stereotypes as two stressors that come with being African American. And then end with some, on a more upbeat note, I think, in terms of strategies for dealing with some of these issues. I'm not going to go into great detail about these demographic factors, but I just want to highlight the fact that the median income, you know, you can think about median income as a good place to start in terms of assessing the economic well-being of children because it measures the ability of families at the midpoint to provide basic food, shelter, clothing, child care, medical care, and other basic goods and services for that are required to raise a child. So here we see that the median income of white families is substantially more than the median income for African-American families. It is about, for white families, median income is about 98% greater than that of all African-American families. And we see the race disparity existing as well in single mother families. So I put that here because a substantial number of African American children are living in single parent families. So even when we look at single parent families, we see this disparity. It's not quite as large as the disparity that exists for all families, but it is there. I won't give you the numbers because I don't want to spend my precious 30 minutes giving these details. Here we see that African American children are much more likely to live below the poverty level. These are statistics for children under the age of six. The rates for African American children are something like 37% compared to about 13% for white children. The disparity exists when you look at married couple families, that is the percentage of children living under in poverty, and it exists when you look at mother-only families as well. Okay. Let me say a little bit about race and neighborhood context. What we know, the reason that this is important is in terms of neighborhood context, is that even if we look at children who are poor, African-American children who are poor are much more likely to live in very poor neighborhoods than white children who are poor. And I'll tell you a little bit about why the significance of that in a moment. When we talk about very poor neighborhoods, usually we're talking about neighborhoods that have our census tracts or neighborhoods where the poverty rate is 30 to 40%. Sometimes it's 30%. People use 30%. Sometimes people use 40% as a cutoff. But very poor neighborhoods essentially means you have a neighborhood where close to the majority of people in that neighborhood are poor. And we see that race matters in neighborhood context even when you're talking about middle-class African-Americans. So communities where middle-class African-Americans live compared to those where European-Americans live, who have similar personal and household incomes, The communities of middle-class African-Americans tend to be less affluent, and they tend to be plagued with more social problems, more crime, more boarded-up houses, other kinds of markers of that. Mary Petillo has written about this this issue in great detail. So these are the statistics that, this is just a graph that shows you what I was just talking about in terms of the number of children who are poor, of the children who are poor, the percentages of children who live in very poor neighborhoods. And you can see here that African-American children are much more likely to, the yellow bars are the African-American, the second set of bars are African-American children, and you see there that close to 61%, a little bit over 60% of all poor children who are African-American are living in neighborhoods where the poverty rate is 40% or more. And you see for white children, that's the first set of bars, who are poor, the percentage that live in neighborhoods that are very poor is about half that, or somewhere over 35%. Okay. Now, we have seen some changes in the concentration of poverty in neighborhoods since 1980. So this just shows the percentage of high poverty neighborhoods or census tracts that by the racial composition. And so in 1980, 48% of high poverty tracts were ones that African Americans were the predominant racial group. Whereas by 2000, that number had dropped to about 39%. And what we're seeing is that what's happening is that Hispanics or compensating for that change is related to a growing number of Hispanic neighborhoods that where Hispanics are the primary group. So those neighborhoods, high poverty neighborhoods, are now more of them are populated by the Hispanic population or Hispanic families. Okay, so we don't really know why this change has happened exactly, but some thought is that it has to do with we both see changes in the race ethnic composition of high poverty tracts, but we also see from 1980 to 2000 a decline in the concentration of poverty. That is to say, fewer people who were poor in 2000 were living in high poverty census tracts. So that's probably a good thing if you assume that there are some benefits for poor children living in non-poor neighborhoods.